So this morning, as I was looking at the bulletin, I'd actually had my message ready earlier this week because I knew I was going to be gone over the weekend. So I'd been working on my message in the middle of the week, and I had done the bulletin. It was all ready to go. But the back part of the bulletin was different until yesterday. and I didn't write a new message. It was a message that I've done before. But I was just thinking about all the things that had happened between Wednesday and Sunday in our country. That's the first address that the president made. That was earlier in the week, but then on, I think it was Thursday, he gave the address to the United States. The travel restrictions were put in place. Disneyland was closed down. Most of the public schools in California are closed down. There's a big discussion about whether our schools should close down. I don't know if you've heard, but our governor has said that he, at least the governor and some people that he's consulted with, that the reason that he doesn't want to close the Arizona schools down is he feels like we're a very transient kind of community, and that if we're down for another week of spring break, many of the people went to other places. I know I had these 12th graders, and they were going to Mexico and doing spring break stuff, which is crazy, but they did that. So they were all over the place. But a lot of families went to Mexico. Our Hispanic families went to Mexico. Many went to California to visit their folks there as well. And so their idea was if we take another week off, then they'll go to other places. So it's the concept that, yeah, maybe they might expose people at school, but that taking into consideration that families might go to other places, and so then the coronavirus could be spread that way. So their stand was it's safer for us to have school again. So will that continue on? Because I know there's a lot of people saying that's a bad decision. And so it should be interesting. There's a board meeting on Monday night. So it could be that we end up with a longer spring break than we had before. So anyway, those are some things that happened. But those are really great. Like I was telling you about the NCAA tournament is just a fun thing for me. I don't have to do it. I actually went to one game one time in Long Beach, California when I was working there. I watched the University of Arizona play. But I've never done more than that with the NCAA tournament. But it is just a fun, entertaining type of thing. Many of those things just shut down. Spring training in Phoenix shut down after about a week. I guess they were gone maybe 1 or 2 weeks. That shut down. The baseball season's been pushed back. I don't know, you probably heard about colleges. Grand Canyon University, they're finishing their year online. Northern Arizona University is going online until March 30th. But they have spring break this week. And then are they going on to the end of the year online? I think they are, right? Oh, yeah. So I think they have 1 week of spring break, and then that next week will be online classes. And it looks like they'll probably go online till the end of the school year. So a lot of life-changing things. I know in some of the colleges I was reading, they want to shut down the dorms. You have people from international places that are here, and they don't have any way to get home because international people can travel home to their homes. But in many cases, they weren't planning to go home. They're planning to be here for summer school. So they have to make some contingency plans for that. So just a lot of earth-shattering things. Now, in my life, not that many huge things have happened, but I know for many people, it makes it very difficult. Sometimes plans that you've made have been thwarted. I was just saying, let's say if you had a relative that lived in another country that passed away, trying to get to that funeral is going to be very difficult. So these are just difficulties. End-time kind of difficulty. You were talking about what's it going to be like when the rapture hits and all these people are gone? If you believe the rapture's coming and all the Christians will be gone, that'll be quite a thing. And that's not what we're experiencing here, but there's panic. As you know, at the stores, there's panic. Different things that are going on. And so as I thought about today, I thought I wanted to just turn to a passage that had always been a comfort to me and that has words that would challenge my heart that God is in control. Also, in living the walk with Jesus, how do we live out the walk with Jesus? What is our responsibility as believers? just to be above the fray. Above the fray of anxiety and worry. You know, one thing that happened that would have just devastated our family this week is the schools canceled their all-state auditions and performance. And that was, like, if that had happened when our kids were in high school, it would have been, it really would have been, like, next to a really awful thing. That would have been their biggest disappointment in their high school career. It would have been. I know there's two girls at our school that probably feel that way today. There was probably only two girls that were going to have a chance to make the All-State Choir. And I'm sure they're devastated right now. But it's, you can get over these things. They're not life and death kinds of things. And for some people, if you contract the coronavirus, it could be life and death. We're not at that point, dealing with some difficulties, some down times. So I want to share with you a passage of scripture that has always been encouraging for me. It's from the book of Philippians. I love the Philippians. They're wonderful believers. They're perhaps the model church in the Bible. If you look at the Colossians, Corinthians, Thessalonians, we always go back to the Philippians. And the words that Paul shares in the book of Philippians with these wonderful believers, the ones that stay true, the ones that are dealing with difficulty all the time, they're the ones that kind of rise to the top. They're the ones that have biblical preaching going on in their church. They're the ones that are fellowshipping outside of church with each other and challenging each other to live lives that are holy and good. And they were having some amazing success. When you read through the Philippians, and Paul tells them, wow, you've been such a blessing to me. You've helped me so much through the difficult times. And I really appreciate that. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. It is the last chapter of the book of Philippians. And we're going to look at some things that are going to challenge us, I hope, to contentment. And I say contentment no matter what. Doesn't matter what comes our way. Are we going to be content in God? And that's what this passage will do to us. But there's some other things that are important for our contentment. The first thing I'd like to look at is the idea of right thinking. We're going to start in verses 8 and 9. In fact, I'll go ahead and read the verses before then. I'm not going to preach on verses 1 through 7, but it's good to hear them. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, and that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat you all, thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I can't just let all these verses go with no commentary, can we? Be anxious for nothing. We're challenged. Let the peace of God go over your hearts. Paul uses the book of Philippians to point out people that have been such a blessing to him and challenge them if they're having issues. You find almost more names in Philippians than other books because he had so many people that have helped him over those years that he spent there. So these first verses give us this idea, be anxious for nothing, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he gets to the last part of the book, which is what I'm going to center on. Verse 8 begins by challenging us to be content. And how are we content? By right thinking. This is one way that we can be closer to the Lord, but also to be content in Him, by right thinking. Doing starts with right thinking. We got to think right, and then we do right. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and see in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And Paul right off says, hey, think on these things, but then he says, do. Because when we think rightly, it translates into doing. Not always. And we could just stop there. We could think a lot of great things and not do anything and be one of those people that's just a lot of talk. just a lot of thinking, but we got to do as well. So doing starts with right thinking. What are the right thoughts? And Paul goes into the truth. 2 weeks ago, I had that message about progressivism, which just diverts from truth, causes so many questions about what truth really is. The idea that we just need a change for change's sake. Relativistic thinking. All of those things divert from the real truth of the scripture, that what's right and what is wrong in the Bible. Absolute truth, not the relative truth. The truth that changes. I'm going to get into some of that. Applications may change, but the truth does not. The way we apply the truth from era to era might change just a little bit, but the truth cannot change. And I'm going to look at some ideas with this. Examples of truth that never change. Honesty, right? It's one of the things Paul lists, honesty. That doesn't change. Sexual purity. That doesn't change. And no matter what you look at from the Old Testament, some of those difficult situations in family life that we see, sexual purity does not change. The beautiful relationship of a man and woman, and it was such a blessing. You know, Alex and Elena, they waited, like hardly anybody in this world, for the intimate relationship at marriage. You know, when I go to Christian marriage, and I know that's true, I am so blessed. The desire in their eyes for each other is like no other wedding you go to. I've done other weddings where that's not happened. But the joy and the wonder that's still in their eyes, even in the reception and everything, to that union that has now happened. It's a wonderful thing. In this world, people, they don't see that. They're not seeing that kind of thing. In 90% of marriages in this world today, sadly, even amongst Christians, Christian couples. One of the weddings I did recently was a Christian couple that did not wait. Sadly. You know, sadly. And, but this doesn't change. This is a truth that never changes. Respect. Respect. How we respect each other. You know, even those who are, we can't stand their views. Do you have respect for them? I listened to this program. I encourage you. It's a good podcast. It's called Unbelievable. And it's a guy named Justin Brierley. He is from Britain. He's a believer. And he is an apologist. So he brings on people from anti-Christian perspective. And he has them debate with people that are Christians from the right perspective, from the Christian worldview. Deals with a lot of different interesting subjects. And I'm amazed at the people that will go on his show. Because some of these people are, you know, they write books about how there is no God. They write books about evolution and creation from the Bible is bunk. But they come on his show. And once you listen to a show a few times, you know why. Because he treats them with an amazing respect that I think is a great testimony for Jesus Christ. It really is. He doesn't belittle, he doesn't put down, he does not destroy. Now, they're all wrong sometimes. He's not willing to point that out, but he does it with a level of respect that I just have not encountered in my lifetime. It's an amazing thing. And I appreciate that. So everybody will come on a show. The person with the view that's totally wrong, that's totally worldly, that is totally against the Bible, they will come on a show. Now, he always has someone that can argue with them and show them what the truth is. But what a great testimony. I've even heard people say, wow, you know, like, I appreciate you, Justin, because of the way you are. And they say things like, man, one day I think I'm gonna come to your side. I'm going to believe in Jesus because of your testimony. I love that. I love this concept that he shows that kind of respect for people that don't necessarily agree with him. But in this passage, in verse 8 of Philippians, look at all those things that are listed. So many wonderful characteristics of the believer. You know, honesty, whatsoever things are just, pure. Those all, I think, have to do with the idea of respect as well. Examples of applications that have changed. Now, these are some things that I just thought that came up as I was thinking about this. Applications that have changed, like cultural traditions, like dress standards. You know, in different eras, we have different things that change. I don't think that modesty really shouldn't change in our lives. But different styles change. There's different ways of looking at things. Those are not necessarily truths. Things like hairstyle, we make decisions about this to honor God. You know, there's different types of cultural traditions that have happened. If you go back to biblical times, you know, maybe hairstyle for men had a different connotation. But I think we need to respect our times as a believer. And that's what he's talking about here. Love these things, he says. Think on these things. Honesty. Absence of lying, cheating, or deceit. Don't let those around you draw you into cheating. And I see it happen in my classroom all the time. Some people have no qualms about cheating. They just do it. And I make them feel guilty. Because it's wrong. Seek this. Just. God is just. This is God rendering what is due righteous without any sin. These are all those concepts that come with justness. God is righteous, and we need to think on his righteousness and believe on his righteousness and allow things to come into our life that are righteous. God is the only one who is wholly just. We can't always understand God's way sometimes, though. Sometimes they're different. God is just. Pure. Think on purity. Sexual purity, as we just mentioned. Establish standards to maintain this. We don't have any young people in our room, but I would challenge them that you need to establish standards of purity. Be honest with yourself. Purity of mind and heart. These are all ideas that I think we need to take on as believers in the way we think. We need to have higher standards about these issues. Things that are lovely. Things that are lovely. Beauty in our entertainment pursuits. You know, that's the thing about classical music. The beauty that it brings to our mind. You know, it's one of those things that... But there's other types of things like that in our entertainment that are beautiful, that we can appreciate. And here in chapter 4, look at all those things that he mentions. Things that are lovely, that are of good report, if there be any virtue. Paul is challenging us to think on these things, to live the higher life. It's not an arrogant life. It's not I'm better than you life. But it's the life of the believer that we appreciate the lovely things. Does it pass the lovely test? You know, what is that? Well, I don't know what that is for you. But is it lovely? Can you put that? And there's certain things, you know, certain styles of music. You just can't put lovely on it, right? Certain things, you just can't put that term on there. So if someone said, man, I like this kind of music. It really appeals to me. And you ask them, is it lovely? Well, maybe not. Good report, a good reputation. Something that we're always working on. In today's world, it's tough. We might earn a bad reputation because of something we're doing that's good in today's world. That's not what we're talking about here. A reputation that you can be trusted, that you can be counted on for your word. I think those are the kind of things that come with a good reputation. Think on these things. Virtue, moral excellence. Moral excellence. Praise is another one. Praiseworthy. Godworthy. Another way of saying praiseworthy. Is it Godworthy? Number 2. So that's the first point. By right thinking, by caring for others. Look at verses 15 through 18. We're going to jump through 11 and 13 and come back to that later. Now you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For ye, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again and again into my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but as our fruit that may be abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet-smelling sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Here, I was telling you about the Philippians being those wonderful examples. Look at the things that they do. They showed by example. They took care of Paul in his suffering and all the things that Paul went through. He says, nobody else cared except you. Nobody else cared but you. When I was going through those difficulties, persecutions, you were there for me. What a great example. I don't know if we do enough together as believers. I was thinking of our missionaries, one of my goals is to see all of them that can be here this year. We're going to see Amber and Brad next month, hopefully. I don't think Roger will be able to be here, but I want to have them here, and I want them to know that we're there for you, those missionaries. Like, that's how they were. Their missionaries were like theirs. I was blessed by Pastor Daniel from the Thomas Road Baptist Church this week. We were sharing. He says, every summer, we have like four missionaries that we really, really are like, that's the ones we're really into. They're a larger church than ours. They have 200 or 300, I think. And he said, he went to Greece. They support the Athens Baptist Church. And he goes there like every 4 years. And then another year he goes to Russia and he visits the Hutchinsons, who we got to meet. He goes there another year. And then I think there's two other places that he goes. So those are like their top four. And he wants to be there, so he knows what's going on. He can share with the people. Many times he takes people with him. You know, I'm going to tell you this. I'm blessed by Pastor Chuck at Calvary Chapel just over the hill. He's a friend of mine. I know him really well. And he has a ministry in Bulgaria that's like amazing. Every year they take like a large group of people and they go to Bulgaria, like not that long out of religious persecution. And they're making a great difference there. We have a friend who actually is one of my students who got involved in those ministry, went over there, he met his wife, and they're both here. It's amazing how they've been able to do that. I don't know that we do enough. I know we're involved in Ironwood as much as we can be. But this is the Philippians. So as we look at our situation that's difficult right now, let's kind of get our minds off ourselves. That's one way we can do it. You know, that's this toilet paper thing to me. It's people like stocking up or whatever. I feel like, and I don't know, maybe some of you have done some of this kind of thing. Maybe you've stockpiled a little bit because you're worried. Man, there may be some truth to that. But now that there's no toilet paper, I have a friend in Phoenix. She went to five places and she couldn't buy it. She had to buy Kleenex, which isn't good for your septic tank and your sewer. So I feel bad for her. And she's just a single teacher. And she's just like, you know, we need to be thinking about others. That's the Philippians. They took care of Paul when he was suffering. They were there for him. They care for the gospel, verses 15 and 16. Look at that. Now ye Philippi, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Mass, no church community as concerning giving. So they communicated with him. They cared for the gospel. They care by giving good sacrifice, verses 17 and 18. Because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound on your account. But I have all and abound. So he's saying, look, all these great things I'm doing in ministry, it's because of you. You're part of it. You know, would we feel like we're a part of Roger, and what's Roger's wife's name? Roger Papias and his wife and their child. That we're a part, we need to feel like we're a part of that as we give to our church and as we support them. And that's the way the Philippians were. They were those hands-on missionary church that they were a missionary Baptist church. I know some of you have some background with the Missionary Baptist Church. I love that name. That's a great name for your church, isn't it? And they were like, yeah, they were a part of that. And it was so important to them. The Philippians are such a great example. I love how Paul describes this by giving good sacrifice. Number three, by living out Christ in good and bad things. Look at verses 11 through 13. We're going to jump back. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is the foundation of this whole chapter, really. Paul's talking, he's talking to these believers. He's saying, man, you guys helped me out. You did this, you did that. You were there for me. You were there for me in those bad times and the good times. When I was abased, you're there for me. The thinking on those things is also important. But the foundation, I think, is this. Living out Christ in good and bad things. Living the good is the easy part. We all know that, right? Living the bad is the difficult times. But we need to be content with all. Paul had been through some hard times. But he does point out the good times as well here, but some struggles. And these believers were with him through it all. We're going through some hard times. You know, we're looking at these things, and there's going to be a mini recession that's just almost guaranteed. Hopefully it will be a mini recession, and we'll be out of it soon. You know, I think of my students. I have 12th graders. Many of them have jobs. They're working. They're going to get laid off, some of them. Almost all of them are in food service. I would say in probably a month or two, there's going to be layoffs. It's going to be difficult for them because a lot of times they're helping their families, helping their moms and dads just get by, pay the rent, stuff like that. But it's a difficult time. But, you know, the Lord and his presence is one of the greatest things that we can have through those times. Prayer. Today we had a great time of prayer before our Sunday school hour. It was awesome. We've got some difficulties going on. Prayer gives us some power with the Lord. And then the contentment, like Paul says, abased and abound. I know how to do that. Do you know how to do that? I've been through a lot myself. Most of my hardest times are with the disease, with Caleb. That was a struggle. It was difficult. It still is. It's my abasement, like I could never have imagined. But God has been good. He gives us an abundance of blessing in our lives as well. And I have the Lord. I have heavenly walk, as I've been talking about over these last several weeks. That's always an encouragement. Always gives you that extra step. And that's a blessing. Living in Christ is great. Knowing Christ. Yes. Knowing the blessings that come with being in tune with Jesus. And so that peace that comes into our hearts when we trust him and go let him go along with us. That's really part of it too. Let him go along with you. Don't do it on your own. Be content with all. And then by knowing Christ is the provider, the last verses 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ. Isn't that a blessing? My God shall supply all your need because of his riches and glory. And then he goes on, he makes his prayer as he ends this book. Now unto the God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which with meat greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I love how he ends this. It's more pronounced than even some of those other letter books. Why? Because the Philippians were the loyal ones, and they were the ones that were dealing with the hard times and getting through it. He supplies all. He always provides for his own. And this is Sarah's favorite verse that she challenges me with when I get down. I don't know how many times she said this. Hey, calm down. She says that with all great humility and submission as a wife. She says, hey, what about this verse? She has every right to point this out to me. Psalm 37:25. I love this. Is it David that wrote this? And he says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Most of you who are over 60, which is everyone but Sarah and me, I think, can you say yes to that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a great verse. It's challenging. I think all of us can say yes to that. And he will provide for our needs. So get us through this tough time. So let's stand above the crowd. Let's take this time because people they're struggling. I don't know. My classes are going to be interesting because they're the ones who are in those long lines. Their parents were the ones in those long lines. I just can't imagine. I'm going to have some great opportunities to share with them and challenge them. You know, God's on the throne. He knows the future. He knows where this virus is going to go. And he's going to put people in place that will help us with it, our president being one, and other people that are doing the work, the science, to help us through these things. let's be in that. Let's say good to that. But as we go through the hard times, let's be like the Philippians. Even though it's hard, they remain faithful. And they were a great testimony. And that town of Philippi, it was kind of like the United States. It's kind of like New York City or maybe Los Angeles. Not even like Bullhead much, but we're a microcosm here too. They were standing amidst the strife and the struggles and people saying, "You Christians, what are you?" You know, like standing for good and right, making it look bad. So we can be challenged by these verses. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. I'm not going to give an invitation today, but I'm going to just have everyone just pray with me as we do this. Y'all pray with me just in your hearts as I pray. Lord, help us to be strong in the midst of adversity. Help us to remember a verse like this, that you're going to never let us beg bread. Not be anxious. Trust you during the difficulties. And Lord, as we look towards that wonderful resurrection day coming up in April, that you live. Other religions don't have that their God is living. You're a living Savior in the world. You're a great God, and we praise you for all that you've done for us and how you've worked in our lives. And Lord, help us again to live above the fray. Live with a step for the future. A step for your future in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.